6:34. Everybody rise for the Pledge of Allegiance, please.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Item number three is roll call.
Okay, Sam Blastro.
Here.
Earl Robinson.
Present.
Jeffrey Bell.
Here.
Ray Bowers.
Here.
David Reed.
Here.
Rita Allegro. Pelagi. Yeah, I didn't do Gino Di Giovanni very well for a few months.
It used to be in Riley. It was a lot easier.
That would have been, yeah. And John Kaworek is excused.
Yep.
So one of the alternates will be a voting member this evening.
Recording in progress.
Sam, if you're speaking, you need to put your mic on.
It's echoing here, Mark.
It's not on, right? No.
Attorney Cole, it looks like you logged in twice, so there's feedback coming in from one of those things.
Okay. That's why. Okay.
All right, go ahead, Mr. Chair.
So who's a vote?
You want to be a voting member or David?
You guys voted last time.
So okay. Okay. I forgot about that. That's right. All right. All right. Item number four, additions, deletions, and acceptance of the agenda. I'm just going to read this into the record. We have a couple of applications tonight that are not going to be heard. So one of them, we have a letter. So I'm just going to read it into the record. Dear Ms. Narowski, encloses a certified mailing to neighbors within 150 of the Howard property as required by regulations advising the neighbors of the public hearing tonight. Accordingly, please consider this letter to request and consent to open to the public hearing. We have this letter here. However, they didn't put this in time. They didn't get the letters back. They didn't get them certified and brought back. So item number 13, the application for Roseanne and Robert Howard and 5 Genetti Drive will be tabled to next month. And conversely, item number 19, the applicant of the Hops Company, 77 Sodom Lane, they've already called and asked to have that postponed till next month as well. All right. So those are going to be the amendments to the agenda for this evening. Do I have a motion to approve that?
I'll second your motion.
You're making the motion?
Making it?
Oh.
You make the motion.
Oh, okay.
Motion.
And Jeffrey seconded it?
I make a motion to accept the amendments.
No.
Or as stated,
the corrections.
Correction.
Of the agenda.
Our chairman.
Okay.
Starting the applicants.
Second by
yep.
Jeffrey. Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. All opposed? All right. Okay. Next item on the agenda, the public portion. Anybody from the public who wishes to speak that is not going to speak on one of the applications that are going to be heard? Because we will have a public portion for if somebody from the public wishes to speak on an item that's currently here. This is just open to the public on anything but anything outside of the applications. Okay. Not hearing any. Can I have a motion to close the public portion? Okay. Motion made by Cheryl. Second. Rita. Motion made by Rita. We're messing you up big time tonight.
I know.
Motion made by Rita. Second by Jeffrey. All in favor? All right. Motion carries. We are going to table the minutes from the meeting from last month. And we will reconvene those for next month. We'll put them all together. We need a motion for that?
It couldn't hurt.
Yeah, a motion to table. Motion made by Rita. Seconded by Earl. All in favor? All opposed? Okay, motion carries. Next, item number 7, applicant Dennis Zach, 31 Sentinel Hill Road, Derby, Connecticut. Location of affected premises, same, appealing the Derby Zoning Regulations 195-11E7B for a side yard variance from 16 feet to 2 feet for the construction of a storage shed. Just state your name and your address for the record, please.
Hi, my name is Dennis Zach. I'm the sole owner of 31 Sentinel Hill Road here in Derby. So I just want to thank you, everybody, for coming and apologize for my last meeting that I was unable to attend. So I'm asking for board to approve the construction of the shed in the corner of my premises in the backyard. I had to ask for this regulation appeal in order to construct the shed, because this is the only place where I can place it without, you know, like, where there is no huge slopes on my territory. And it just, I'm limited in space there, and the rest of the land is kind of hilly, so it's very hard to construct something there. And I have just a small portion of flat surface, but it's going to be visible from the road, so I didn't want to affect any view of how the houses are built, and so it not affects anybody around me. So I'm asking for appealing of this regulation number 195-11E, portion 7B. Thank you.
Yeah, no, ask away.
So are you proposing to put it within your fence or on the outside of the fence?
Outside, but within my territory.
Okay, so but behind the fence, behind where the trampoline
right,
is?
Right.
Yeah, I was at your house today.
Oh,
so,
I
looked. Okay. That is also very sloped there.
At least it's more or less flat, where I think it's adjustable, so I can put
where I can put some kind of blocks to level it. The rest is just like very, very hilly, so it's hard for me to find another place like this in my entire land.
But no, go ahead. I'm sorry. No. Yeah.
I'm supposed to do that. Sorry, Mark. So if you put it, if you complied with the regulations, you would have to move it another 14 feet in, right? From the 2 feet you're proposing. And so you're saying the unusual circumstance that you would have to face is that you'd have to level it, but you'll still have to level it where it is.
Is it just the amount of leveling is much lower, so it's more or less flat?
So it would be easier.
It's going to be just much easier to do it there. Otherwise, I have to put some kind of columns to support it, and it's going to be like very high.
And that would cost more money.
Exactly.
Okay.
That's all the questions I have.
That's what I was going to ask.
Sorry.
So the property is not any more unique in this one spot than it would be if you were within the guidelines. You're still going to have to manipulate the land. You're going to still have to make it level. You're still going to have to grade. You're going to still have to put something up or skim it down, right, to make it flat.
Yes. The
so
idea that
there's, this is not like the only flat part of your property.
No.
Okay.
There is no real like flat surfaces,
right?
Because
so,
on Sentinel
right.
Hill.
So once you get past the gate, it looks like, because it almost looks flatter right past that gate in the back fence, but then I guess you only have a couple feet and then that's not your property?
Exactly, yes. On the back, I have like maybe like 3 or 4 feet behind the fence that
it's
very like short on distance.
How about on the other side of the yard? Looks like the fence kind of cuts in further in from the property line?
Yes, on the other.
Like right here? And I don't know the topography, but on the opposite side of the yard.
I think that this is the location where the entrance to the house is. So there's a driveway, I think, on this side of the house. Does it show the driveway?
Is this?
Is that it?
Yeah, here. You want to see it bigger? Anybody want to see this map? No. No, that's Singer Village. Sorry. No. None of these two are the bigger. No.
Okay. Do you know what I'm saying, Sam?
On the opposite side.
You think you have more fence between the more space between the fence and the property line. But
you can come up and show us.
What I was suggesting, just looking at this, not knowing topography, like if you dropped it here, maybe you have
like a hill down with this
over here.
Yes, and okay. There's a stream of water, so it's whatever water is going down, it goes like this.
Oh, right through there,
exactly.
So there. Wetland.
Wetland.
Yeah. I got you.
That's okay. That's where your trampoline is.
It's inside. I would like be there just to level it.
Okay, so can you put one next to that, next week?
On this side, no, because the hill is going here, like right here is where the trampoline stops, which goes like this down again. Right in this spot in the corner.
Uh huh.
Because I thought about like replacing these trampolines. It's the fence.
Right. That, right.
But it's just like 12 by 12 will not be there.
Turn on your mic, Ray.
Okay, sorry. And the proposed shed is 12 by 12?
Yes.
Thank you.
I'm planning either to buy a plastic one or to construct. I haven't decided yet, but I think most likely it's going to be from wood because I can have a solid ground then and just place it there.
Okay. Anybody else have any questions for the applicant?
Putting a foundation on this
button?
No, I'm not planning to put foundation.
I'm sorry. I'll ask the question again. Is there a foundation on it? What I mean foundation, is it going to be a concrete slab then built on top of it? Or is it just going to be blocks all the way around it and then level it off?
Yeah, the plan is not to build any concrete and like put it in the ground, just to level it with like beams around, put the gravel in,
right,
and then put wood on top. No concrete.
And you're going with a 12 by 12?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
And the fence was there when you moved in?
Yes, it was built before I moved in the house in 2019.
Thank you.
You're not voting, but if you have questions, you can definitely speak.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
We've got another question. Looking at the map, is there any way you can put the shed behind the house? I see the deck there. I was not at present to look at your home, but I was just looking at here through the map. I see the deck and there's, you know, a section there. Could you put the shed back there behind?
Theoretically, yes. It's just the even deck itself that you see on a map is on
where
on
your hill. Deck is. You could put it on the right-hand side?
No, it's still in a hill. Like the hill is all the way through the territory. So it's okay. Like from up to down, like it's possible, but it's just like the amount of then it will need to put concrete to support the structure because it's going to be 12 by 12, pretty big,
right?
So I was thinking this, I wouldn't thought to make like a shed under the deck itself,
right?
But then it's going to since there is a hill on the other side, it's going to just accumulate so much water that it wasn't just for me hard to let the water go from this location. Okay. So
Anybody else?
One other question, Mr. Yep. Chairman. I just want to make the applicant aware of that, you know, variances are, you know, we check on variances for specific needs, okay? And, but, you know, and the land-wise location and where it has to be done. But I don't know if you're aware or not, but we cannot grant variances in some respect just because it's a financial issue. Or you follow what I'm saying, the easiest way out. You get it, yeah, what I'm saying.
I understand.
You know, I notice you're saying
it's not a financial issue. It's about like 11. Well,
what I'm saying is, is that if you go, like you're stating, you're putting your shed and it's lower, but if you move it over, you still got to dig it up and put a foundation around it. You follow what I'm saying. So, You understand what I'm saying. You don't have a ledge. We don't have like a rock 50 feet high. That's the only way we can maneuver it somehow, one way or the other. But I was just trying to, you know, and there's no way anywhere at your home, even within the fence line or outside the fence line, that's the only location that you could put it.
There are other locations. It's just I was taking in consideration the view from the street. So, if I put the shed next to the house,
right,
and it can potentially affect the value of the other houses around. So I try to push it back as far as I can, so it's not visible, right, and it's hidden behind the trees, so it doesn't affect my neighbors.
Okay. Now, how about your neighbor behind it? Who owns the property behind it?
There is a stream and wetlands and yeah, this location, so there is no house built nearby. So right, the on the other side, the street is quite far.
Right.
So something that's staying in within woods, I don't think it's going to affect them much.
Oh, Mr. Chairman, did we have any letters with the property, adjoining properties, stating everything was okay?
We just, you submitted them, right?
Yes, I submitted mail to everybody. We wouldn't be hearing this
application, just like Genetti Drive.
Yeah.
We wouldn't be hearing it if there was an opposition.
Okay.
Or, I mean, we have to do the public portion yet. If somebody wants to speak on this application, they might be here, but we have to get to that.
All right. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Any other questions for the applicant?
Just one. So the fence doesn't follow the property line. Is it because of the hills and stuff, the slopes?
I have no reason why it's not following the lines. It was put before.
Yeah, no, I understand that. But I didn't get to your property, so I'm just curious. Mm-hmm. Would you guess that maybe that's why they put the fence the way it did, because of?
My guess is that at the time when they were building the fence, it was sufficient for the dogs that they had, because the primary reason why they put it in first place was for dogs. So I think they needed it.
Got
right,
it.
Because like next neighbor also has a fence for dogs, and the other guy, I don't think he has, but I think it was primarily for dogs, and this was enough territory for them to run.
Got it. Thank you.
Kevin, do you have anything you want to add before we close this this up? We Attorney Lima's here as well. So
not really, Sam. I mean, you've heard it all. You know, it's a matter of choice. Are you hearing me now?
Nope. Yeah, I can hear you.
Oh, okay, good. Yeah, no, I think he's picked what he thought was the best place on the lot. And we spoke about it when he applied, saying that you need a variance to put it there, and your board is going to act on this tonight one way or the other.
Okay. All right. That'll be it. Thank you. You can have a seat.
Thank you, everybody.
Okay. At this time, I'm going to go to item number 8, the public portion. Does anybody from the public wish to speak on this application particularly? Okay, not hearing anybody. I need a motion to close the public portion for this application.
Motion to close the public portion, please.
One second. Motion made by Earl, seconded by Jeffrey. All in favor? All opposed? Okay, now we have to deliberate, guys. We can talk amongst ourselves, and we can come up with a motion. How do you guys feel?
Need to unmute the mics. Somebody speaking.
Oh, sorry. So you have to put it on.
She was trying to get out.
So it doesn't, like, that particular section doesn't make it unique to any other part of the property.
Well, I think as he said, it's more pitched as you move down the property, mm-hmm. but it's all pitched because it's on the hill.
It's all pitched, right?
Yeah.
So there's going to be some.
It's 2 feet from the property line or within the regulations. It's still going to, it's going to be a little, it's going to be more work, but it could be done.
Right.
It's just going to probably be cost more and be more work.
Right.
But I don't know that it is exceptionally difficult.
Any more exceptionally difficult than it would be if it was within the guidelines or without, right?
That was my thought.
How do you guys feel?
What you said kind of makes sense.
Dave? Okay. You want me to make the motion? I'm going to make a motion to deny the application on 31 Sentinel Hill Road, appealing the Derby zoning regulations of 195-11E7B for a side yard variance from 16 feet to 2 feet for the construction of a shed. Do I have a second? Seconded by Jeffrey. All in favor? All opposed? None? Okay, motion carries. Thank you. Item number 10, application Emerson DeSantis, 166 Oldfield Avenue, Trumbull, Connecticut, located on the affected premises of New Haven Avenue, lot 4-329, appealing the Derby zoning regulation of 185-13E2, of 624 square feet to fulfill the bulk requirement for a lot to build a two-family house.
Okay.
Please state your name and your address for the record, please.
Emerson Santos, 166 Oldfield Avenue, Trumbull, 06611.
Good. Go ahead.
So my request tonight is for a lot area. So actually is 623 foot for two lot areas. So that means I'm sure 312 square foot for each lot. So the only reason I'm coming here is because in my view, the duplex will be a best fit for the property and will, because it's on New Haven Avenue, it's a very busy street. So if I can build separate driveways for the properties and get the best living, then two units, one over each other. So basically, that's my request for you, and I can answer any questions that you guys may have.
This is like
that's this one here, right?
Yeah, that one is the survey. Yeah, it's the same. That one is the layout for the duplex.
Okay, that's the layout and that's the survey.
Yeah, I believe that one will have a small version, maybe okay. On the last page.
You guys didn't see this.
We have it pretty clear, but okay.
Yeah.
So what's the issue? The footprint?
Once a two-family and a single-family residential area.
Okay.
And
so the area already for two families. So it's the only thing missing is the square footage for the lot size.
For the lot size.
Yeah.
You're saying it's zone one family?
Is it zone one?
Two family.
It's zone two family. Yeah, so you're just coming for the...
Just for the lot for the area.
Square, the yardage. No.
If the R5 does allow duplexes on a 10,000.
It does. Yeah, on a 10,000.
Yeah.
And this is 9,300?
At 9,377.
Okay. So I see it right. Yeah. I'm sorry. Yeah. Oh, the 624 was short 620. That's where I got the numbers confused here.
Yeah, sorry.
My apologies. No, that was me. It was me. And you're still adhering to the setbacks?
Yes, sir. All the setbacks is, yeah. No okay. Problems with setbacks.
I did that on one of my properties in Seymour. I had an undersized lot, but I was still able to meet the guidelines inside the variant. Like
I was still within the setback.
So I was still conforming with today's, even though that the property was pre-existing, not conforming, was an undersized lot. I said I still can build a house and I could still meet your today's guidelines.
Just because you got in the setback.
Right.
If that the houses next door, I'd be curious if those lots are conforming.
Right. And right, but even though he bought it's that like the lots probably were cut out before the regs in 1960, so it could be a pre-existing non-conforming, okay. Right? And he's not making a two-family into a one.
Yep.
You know, that's the only thing I'm. But we'll finish the application. We can have our discussion after. I'm sure applicants are going to want to speak on this or the next one for efficient use of the land, providing larger spaces in each unit. Anybody have any questions for the gentleman? I mean, we have the drawings, we have the design, and we can call you back up here if anybody has questions after. Do you guys have any questions, Rita?
I think it's more a question for you guys. Should I just wait? It's not a real question.
Okay, so yeah.
I just wanted to understand what you meant by setback. So that means that the front, the yard, the side, and the rear would all be within
the current regulations.
And so the regulation is that to build a two-family, you need...
In an R5, you need 10,000 square feet, and he's got 993. Yeah, yeah.
I just wanted to make sure.
Yep.
But it's fine because it's square.
Huh?
It's fine because of the setbacks.
Right. He's not asking for a variance for setbacks is what I'm reading here from what I see on the...
Currently empty, yeah.
How long have you owned it?
So a few months, I would say 6 months, about.
424. Anybody have any questions? Earl, Jeffrey?
The public portion.
Okay. All right. I don't think we have any more questions for you at this moment.
All right.
We can call you back, though.
Thank you very much.
All right. All right. Anybody from the public wish to speak on this application?
I would like to.
Okay, we have somebody up here right now, whoever that is. We'll call you as soon as this lady up here is finished, and we'll make sure you're heard. Okay?
It's okay with her?
Yeah. Just state your name and your address for the record, please.
I'm Barbara Berry. I live at 458 New Haven Avenue in Derby. I've lived there for 73 years. It's a family home. The area right next door has been a neighbor for years, and I know she's in trouble now. She's in a nursing home. In July, the trees started coming down. I didn't even know the property was for sale. And I don't mind that it was sold, but I don't feel that a two-family house is going to be what we need in that area. It's a small lot. There's a ton of traffic on that street constantly. And I think you're going to rent. You're not going to be living there. I think it's a rental. So you're going to have a lot of cars. And it just doesn't seem like it's something that should be done in that area. There are no two-family houses on that block from Platt Street to Shelton Street. It's always been one family. So I don't know if you want to change that with legislation or... Another question I have is in the back of the lot, because I've lived there so long, they had a pool, a built-in swimming pool. And I don't know if he has addressed that yet. When they were cutting the trees down, I made sure that the fellas knew there was a pool there because my neighbor had just had people drop things in it to fill it up. So, and I don't think it's totally filled. I'm concerned that if he's putting the house up there, he's going to have to do something if he's putting the house down farther. I suppose you could leave it, but it's not good for people who are coming in to the property. Okay. So it's, you know, I understand it.
So there's no two families on that road, but not on it's zoned, right? It's R5 is zoned.
Yeah, and the lot is not large enough, so that... And I understand you can make allowances for it, but I think...
I mean, yeah, I mean...
The area has been as it is for so long, and... All the people there are homeowners, single homeowners.
That's 38 or 40 New Haven Avenue.
We need buttons.
Shelton Street has the house on the left side of Shelton Street. The people who lived there from way back when, it was a family, and they had all three floors. That is now a three-family house, and it has been for, I don't know how long, you probably had a variance in for that. But
if they didn't, not in my time.
No, it's probably a long time ago, before you guys were here. Yeah. I know there was a conflict with the fellow on the right side of Shelton Street, which is the edge of my block. And he was putting a garage in the back of his house. And a couple of the neighbors said they were very upset that he was going to rent that out. And I don't know if he did. I mean, I'm at the other end of the road, but I just think it's going to be too much for that section to handle. But I don't mind a one family. I don't mind it.
The lot number is different than the house number.
Got it. Okay.
You're next door to this property, ma'am, right?
I used to contact her to cut trees that was falling into my yard.
Right. I just want to address the lady that whoever it was that was online, who asked to speak. I'm sorry. I promise you'll go next. Whoever's online, if you can put your mic on and state your name and your address for the record, please.
Hi, I'm Kathleen Ducharme. My address is 6 Shelton Street in Derby. And I am the neighborhood behind where Mrs. Berry, who was just speaking, lives. And I've lived up here. My great-grandparents lived on Homestead Avenue, which is the street directly behind New Haven Avenue. My great-grandparents lived there. My grandparents, my parents built a house up around the corner on Shelton Street in the 1960s. And I built my house here in 1991. It's always been a single family, residential, quiet family neighborhood. Along Route 34, the houses that are down there now, including Miss Berry's, have been there for a very, very long time before me. My great grandparents and my grandparents knew most of the families that lived along there. And while they weren't considered multi-family homes, the generations all lived together in those homes. They're quite large homes. And they've always just been a family kind of neighborhood. Building a two-family house down there, to me, is very problematic. You're opening up the door for a lot of changes. And as Miss Berry said, the traffic down there, coming down Platt Street or down Shelton Street, trying to pull out onto the highway is often very difficult with just the standard people coming down on the highway, adding two family homes. You're going to be adding at least another 4, maybe 6 cars. And I disagree with this being a hardship. I think this a single family home is perfect right there. I see no hardship that you have to have a two family home or change the variances for that. It's just doesn't make any sense to me. So thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Anybody else from the public wish to speak? Yeah. Come on up. Sorry.
Mike, put the mic on.
Can you put the mic on, please? Sorry. Thank you. Can you just
read again? My name is Tammy DeCenzo, and my house is adjacent from the back. I live on Homestead Avenue, 29 Homestead Avenue. And Matthew Bears, who lives directly behind that lot, was supposed to be on Zoom today, but apparently he's not. I'm totally against having.
Mr. Beard,
oh, good, Matt. I'm glad you showed up. That I'm totally against having a two-family. A single family is fine. I was actually in the backyard in Matthew's yard, and we were looking at the property, and it is small. I don't even know how a one-family home could fit in there, but definitely not a two-family. And what Kathy mentioned was the traffic. If you have, you know, there's going to be multiple cars there, and having rentals, I'm sure we had rentals in the past living in, on our street on either side, and it's not a thing to do. They're all single family homes in this area, and I'd like to continue to be that way. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else from the public wish to speak? Just hit the button.
I would like to say something.
Yes, sir.
I can wait. No problem.
A gentleman's up right now.
You got it.
And I promise we'll get to you.
Okay. Hello. My name is Kelly DeCenzo. I live at 29 Homestead, and we've been there for 34 years. The property is adjacent to mine in the back. And I don't think that it's a hardship situation. I think that one, if he has to build a single family house, there would be fine, but a two-family house, it doesn't fit the area at all. We, as was said before, there are no other two families there, and to put it in doesn't make any sense because it's not needed there. A single-family house would fit the entire neighborhood like it is. We're all owner-occupied. I know everybody on the street, it's owner-occupied, and I believe that's the way it should be. I don't believe that there's a need for a two family, just so you could squeeze it in there. It's not going to be beneficial. It's not going to help anybody out. It's not going to do anything for the neighborhood. It's a family neighborhood. That's how I feel about it. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. The gentleman that's on Zoom, would you just like to just take your mic off and state your name and your address for the record?
Sure. My name is Eric Lazowski, and I live at 28 Homestead Avenue in Derby. Okay. So my small family is relatively new to Homestead. We've been here since 2021. But I have a 10-year-old daughter and a 4-year-old daughter who often play up and down the street. Anybody who's mentioned so far that they've lived on Homestead or on Shelton can attest that my children are either out in the yard or out in the street walking the dog or riding their bikes. And I'm sure they can tell you from even when their kids were young on the street here that traffic does not move terribly slow either. So my concern is more how the streets are going to look, how what kind of people we're bringing in. But is it also going to make traffic on Homestead busier because people don't watch for the kids? And the last thing I need is for one of my girls to get hit by a car. And then where am I with all of this? So I look at this with caution just to make sure that we're making safe decisions, not just for financial whatever, but also for the community and their families as well. So thank you.
All right. Thank you. Anybody else from the public wish to speak?
There you go.
My name is Andy Quinn. I live at 30 Homestead Avenue. Before I make my statement, I have a question for the board. I read in the zoning regulations today that for a variance for a home, the notification has to go out to everyone within 200 feet of the property.
150.
I read in on the households for homes, it had to be 200 feet. I read it on the Derby website today, the zoning website.
That's why we have an attorney here. Kevin, if you want to weigh in also, if you know that, but we have attorney.
I believe it's 150. I've never seen the number 200. I would have to research that, but okay. In all my years, it's always been 150.
Mm-hmm. There was something there about 200. Okay, whatever. I could be wrong. My property is not directly adjacent to Mr. DeSanto's lot, but,
did you state your name and
ask? Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yep. But I believe that it is extremely close to the distance requirement for certified notification of the meeting. If my numbers are correct, it's 120. Actually, it might be there because if I'm not mistaken, the properties on Homestead Avenue adjacent to his properties, they're 122 feet. The street is 25 feet, so that's 147 feet to my property. If that be the case, I didn't receive notice. I wasn't aware of the notification. If my neighbors hadn't spoken to me, I wouldn't have known this situation even existed and wouldn't be able to attend the meeting. I've lived in the neighborhood for more than 34 years, and it's always consisted, as everyone else has said, of single family, predominantly owner occupied homes. Mr. Santos intends to build this house for use as a rental property. I'm not aware that he's expressed a hardship in relation to his request. And frankly, it's my opinion that a duplex house on a less than appropriate sized lot would sorely look out of place. It simply would not be compatible with our neighborhood. I don't know any duplex that's anywhere near our neighborhood. I agree entirely with the sentiments of my neighbors. I strongly suggest that the board deny this application for variance. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Anybody else from the public?
Have time to speak again, or can I use the public time?
Yeah. No, the public, we're on the public portion right now.
Yeah.
So you can go ahead. Yes, you can get up.
So I understand all the concerns about the neighbors, but that's the main reason that I decided to apply for the duplex style, because by code and the city code, I can definitely do the two family house, one above, so build up. So the two family, I will be able to comply with every single code and still building the two family house without any variance. The only reason
that's not true. That's not true. You do not have the bulk requirement for 10,000 square feet. You have to have 10,000 square feet for two families.
Correct.
Yeah. If you don't have 10,000 square feet, for the duplex, right? You can't. It doesn't matter whether it's a duplex. And let me make another comment at this point.
Have a two family.
Oh,
period.
All right. No, the zoning, that information I collect from the zoning. So the only reason that he sent me here was, so I apologize for that, if that's, you know.
Let me explain one other thing. This applicant has made it known to this person that is not a duplex. This is going to be a two-unit condominium. He plans to sell both sides.
I didn't have plans.
Condominium or rental that's of no consequence.
Brian, please put on your mic, Brian.
Yes. Thank you, Kevin. I'm sorry. The whether it's a condominium or a rental or owned by an investor, there's really no consequence for zoning purposes. Ownership is not relevant to the determinations made by this board or the PNC.
They should be made aware of the fact that this is the intent.
Okay.
So the only reason I
but can... he only could build at this point in time, he's only allowed one family on that lot, unless you grant the variance.
That's correct.
Okay.
You heard that?
That's Kevin from zoning?
Yeah, that's yes. Kevin.
So, all right, I may understand him incorrectly. So, if that's the case, I will draw my motion for that. If it what he's saying right now, it's not what he's told me before, so I don't want to fight with neighbors, especially, you know. So the only reason that I move here, I know you guys didn't call yet if you're gonna allow me to do or not. It's more like she said about the traffic, the way everything works. So I may don't have the right information for that. In that case, like if Kevin says the only thing that I can build here is the single family, I will hear you guys, you know, but you know. If the 300 square foot for each property, it's a problem. It's a problem. So then I let you guys decide it.
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah.
Maybe it's needed and I didn't hear it.
No, I was going to say probably was stated that I didn't hear it. Now, he just bought the property recently, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Probably had a question that do you actually own it or do you have an assumption that in other words, if you got approved
I'm paying taxes already.
In other words, I'm saying you're a developer. In other words, in contingency of buying the property, if you're allowed with it.
No, I own the property. I will build it.
No, I'm saying, I'm not sure. Does he technically really?
Yeah, he says he owns it.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I didn't know. Okay.
Yeah, no, he said he owns the property outright.
All right. I thought it was just.
And he's paying taxes on it.
Okay. All right. Very good. Thank you.
Motion to close the public portion.
Make motion to close the public portion.
Motion made by Ray. Seconded by Rita. All in favor? All opposed? All right, public portion is closed. Item number 12, action on application. That's for us to discuss. Anybody? want to weigh in before we make a motion?
Mr. Chairman, just by way of clarification, in the R5 zone, the bulk requirements, section E2 of 195.13,
yep,
states expressly minimum required lot area per family is 5,000 square feet. So by implication, if you had a two-family, the requirement is 10,000 square feet for a two-family.
Okay. You guys want to weigh in? Talk? Discuss?
It seems like a two-family house is really appealing to many of the neighbors. And I don't know how much that weighs with this board.
The rules are the rules. Like, but he's here because he wants something that he can't have. It's not conforming with the houses that are currently there. And I don't know what the true hardship is.
Yeah.
I've yet to find what the hardship is in here.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, as you know, that this board, in order to grant a variance, needs to find a hardship. And then also there's a second part of that equation as well, which you need to find that the granting the variance is consistent with the plan of conservation and development as well.
And the plan of conservation in the area has been single families. So, and I think that's the reason why there's 9,377 square feet for a reason. All right. Are you guys ready for a motion?
Sure.
You want me to do it? Or do you guys, somebody want to do it? Want me to do it?
Go
ahead. Gonna make a motion to deny the application on New Haven Avenue, lot 4-329, appealing the Derby zoning regulations 195-13E2 of 624 square feet to fulfill the bulk requirement for a lot area to build a two-family house. Do I have a second?
A second.
Seconded by Jeffrey. All in favor? All opposed? Motion carries. Okay. We are bypassing 13, 14, 15. Application number 16. Nito and you're going to have to help me with the names here. If you want to get up and just D. Nito and D.
Nito, yeah. Nito.
Nito?
Yeah.
Can you, so for the record, just say your name and your address.
Jerome Devnokchit, 6 Single Village Drive, Derby, Connecticut.
Okay. And if you're speaking, if you can do this.
Yes, I'm Nito Devnokchit, currently at 6 Single Village Drive, Derby, Connecticut.
Six, you live?
Yeah, I live in 6 Single Village Drive, yeah.
Okay. All right, go ahead. You could state your application.
Good evening, and thank you for listening to our appeal. Currently, we live at 6 Single Village Drive, and we have a section of the property where we want to build a greenhouse, and we appealing a variance of 11 foot so we can build a greenhouse in that specific section. If you look at the map, it's, I think, in orange, that area. Yep. It's kind of like a panhandle. And the current situation with that property is it has been a significant challenge with invasive plants. It was full of Japanese knotweed. And over the past few years, we have worked hard to bring it under control. But unfortunately, it springs back every spring. And it's very aggressive growth, poses a risk to our property value. To address this, we have cleared most of the area and spread wood chips, but we know we need a long-term solution for that. We had always wanted to grow flowers and vegetables, but the challenge are like wild animals. And in our neighborhood, no one has like a proper defense. The whole single village community is like in such a way, we don't have any walls. So challenges like wild animals and short growing season make it difficult for us to like grow any vegetables in that area or flowers. We believe a greenhouse is an ideal solution. It will allow us to manage the invasive species and also effectively growing vegetable and flowers that we want. The greenhouse is also a temporary structure, offering us flexibility we need. Additionally, we are committed to work with our neighbors to address any concerns they may have and ensure the project benefits the whole community in the sense that it's a single village community. You want to do your part?
Yes. Also, I would like to address some of the benefits as well. The greenhouse would contribute to our community and to us as a family. So it's going to, it's going to allow us for cultivation of fresh and local produce as well. And growing your own food in an urban setting can contribute to reducing the carbon footprint. And also, secondly, it can contribute to environmental benefits, like using less water than traditional farming, making them very efficient for irrigation, and also creating a controlled environment where it's going to reduce the need for pesticides and herbicides, leading to a healthier produce. And also, thirdly, for a family of four, like we are now, our monthly produce costs has considerably gone up. So there are weeks that we cannot find good quality produce as well. So growing our own with an extended growing season in the greenhouse will help us. And fourthly, it improves access to fresh produce directly from our greenhouse. So high channels enable each round crop cultivation, ensuring that fresh, nutritious vegetables and fruits are available throughout the year, even in colder seasons. And it allows us to support, providing initiatives by reducing food waste, supporting urban agriculture, and promoting more localized food systems. And as well as the greenhouse can serve us as a model for future urban agriculture projects aligning with environmental and community development goals. And lastly, high tunnels are generally low impact structures, especially when compared to larger commercial farming operations. They require minimal infrastructure. They don't generate significant waste and can blend into the landscape. Thank you.
And the hardship we have is, if you look at the pictures we have attached, there's a map with the different pictures with numbers on them. It shows our property is very hilly. It slopes almost in all locations, except for the backside of it. It still slopes over there, but I think it will fit there nicely.
How big is this greenhouse? I know I saw
it. It's 40 by 30, or 30 by 40.
30 by 40.
Yeah.
And we want to grow enough for it to last through the winter months and spring. And I'm a vegetarian, so...
Anybody have any questions for the applicant?
I was just curious, why there on your property? I mean, why would you not put it within, what is the hardship with moving it within your property without a variance?
So if you look at the map, we have wetlands in the middle of the property, just behind the house. And that, and it's hilly over there, like on all sides, it slants or slopes towards the wetlands. So that would be the issue with there.
But behind that wetland? Well, like, where you're proposing to put it on the little L section, why couldn't you put it behind your house?
So the reason is so that we have our, is it number 4 single village drive? It's behind our house. We don't want to put it in front of their house. It would look ugly.
It might be an eyesore to them. So that's why we need going to put it.
Push it all the way back.
All the way back. So it's not really an eyesore.
So you're talking about the house that's behind you.
Can I come over?
Yeah. I guess. Can you?
Yeah.
So you're talking about the house that's behind you over 16 here. Yeah, 16 Village Drive. But what about this? What about the house here? You're putting it like right in their backyard.
So right over here, we have a lot of evergreens. If you look at the pictures.
These?
So if you flip. And if you flip something.
You don't have this in your booklet.
It's easier to read when it's
no the pictures. The that he's trying to show you the vegetation. Which one?
This is your house.
That's our house. Yeah, that's a front area. And if you so you can see the evergreens here. That's between our house. Sorry, between where the greenhouse would be and our neighbor's house. The house that you're talking about.
Okay, so and you're going to put it right here.
It will be right here. So if you go to the next picture.
I think we passed it.
Oh, we passed it? Was it somewhere? That's a word. Man. Here you go. So you see where the trees are? The trees on the side of the greenhouse.
1,200 square feet.
I mean, I was there today at your property. I'm sorry I made all your cameras go off.
That's okay.
I tried to tell your Ring camera that I was there for the zoning. And, you know, I was just, this was the area that I was, only because, you know, I mean,
it would be still behind them. And I'm
trying it would be behind your house instead of your neighbor's house.
Yeah, and it would be in front of their house.
And it would be in front of their house. But this is their.
And I have really big trees over there that I don't want to bring down, like really big trees. Like there are trees over there that are probably 50, 60 years old. I don't want to be touching them.
And well, if you have a greenhouse, don't you need sunlight?
We do.
And you have enough there?
So where we are proposing it, it faces south. And because those is right behind, in the winter months, all the leaves are down and it has plenty of sun. And in summer months, when the leaves come in, it prevents the greenhouse from overheating. So it works out ideally.
And what specifically are you asking the variance for? Is it for all three sides?
So we were told on one side, it's 5 feet, which is a rear, so I believe it's this one. And then on the two side has to be 16, but because it's only 40 here or 40 dot something, we can't get that clearance.
So it's 40 foot wide. So you're basically in that your sheds or your greenhouse is 30. So you only got about 5 feet on each side. And how what's the?
It's 16.
16.
Okay. 40. Okay, that was the 8 feet you were talking about. So being compliant, said it could only be 8 feet wide. Make it super long.
But so you're asking for 11 feet on both sides? And the back?
We were told one side is 5 feet. So we're not sure which one is because I don't know which one is back and which one is front because I got neighbors everywhere.
Maybe Kevin couldn't answer that.
I would say the westerly side would be the back side because it's a very odd-shaped lot. So as it narrows down into the back, I would say that would be the rear.
This would be the rear, right?
West is this.
I would imagine. I would say that probably would have to be classified as far as this application was concerned.
So this would be west.
So now on the north and south, just the west?
It is a highly irregularly shaped lot.
Especially that box or rectangle. The rear in that is only 5 feet, and I think that they meet that.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you. What did he say? The rear?
I would say that the rear lot in that particular area would be 5 feet.
It's an accessory.
Two sides of the what he's asking for, and it's certainly not the front.
So this would be the
front. This is okay.
Yeah.
I think he's saying
this meets it. This is the west side. West. I think he's saying that, right?
I thought he was saying the west was the smallest part. Oh, sorry. We're trying to figure out what you were saying. So you were saying that the west is fine or the west is the smallest?
Five. It would five. Be considered, I would consider it to be the five. There's no front.
Right.
And that's what they've that's indicated.
Okay. He's looking for
it's
11.
The big thing here is always going to get the building in on the two sides.
Right? On the sides.
Correct. It's 16 feet on each side. He only has five.
Right. So he's asking for a variance of 11 feet on both sides.
Well, Kevin, wouldn't one of those be a rear yard? So it's really only 5 feet is required on the rear for accessory.
Okay, so let's look at the building. You got the rectangle 30 by 40. The rear line is 5 from the rectangle, and the two sides would be 16. He only has 5. The width of the lot and that area is only 40 feet.
Yes.
So he needs if the building is 30 foot wide, 40 foot long, he needs 30 plus 16 on both sides of 52.
So if he made it 20 feet instead of 30.
He doesn't need as much, right?
No.
He can make the thing smaller. There's no question that he can make the building smaller.
Yeah.
So if you made it more narrow and longer, would that...
So because how the property itself is, it will be slanting a lot compared to how much it is right now. And I won't be able to hide it from the neighbors as much as it where it will be if the current the proposed location. The properties at that point from where it starts slopes toward lows. And if I go a little if I make it narrow and pull it forward, I don't know how stable that building will be in winds, high winds. I don't want a greenhouse that collapses and flies over to the neighbor's house.
I just don't know.
Yeah.
How much that's a risk, no matter how wide it is or not.
Excuse me.
Oh, well. Good. I mean, she went. Rita already went.
I'm just saying we could continue it to next month if you wanted to study it further. I think,
Mr. Chairman.
Yeah.
Mr. White, I understand the greenhouse is 30 by 40. Now, we're in a residential zone. I'm trying to understand. I understand he's trying to get variance for that, but it just seems to me it's got to be some kind of a regulation as far as a greenhouse in the residential zone. And most greenhouses I see is probably like a 10 by 10 or something like this. But this is, don't want to use the word, but it's almost like a commercial size greenhouse. Now, you planning to use it as commercialized? You're going to grow something and then sell it or grow it? Be nosy? What do you plan to do with a 30 by 40 greenhouse? Can I ask that question?
Absolutely. And I was waiting for that question. I'm hoping someone would ask that. So like I said, I'm vegetarian. I'm a Hindu, so I'm a vegetarian. She's a Hindu too, but her beliefs are slightly different. She's not vegetarian. So my most of like foods that I eat are vegetables. The idea is that we want that size so we can grow flowers
Right.
And vegetables.
Right.
So we have like bees and natural pollination. We're not like doing it manually or anything like that. And we have variety. It's not like I'm just going to grow potatoes or just green beans. Like have enough variety so we can can them and keep them for the winter months.
Okay. I understand. I got it. So more or less the health wise for you folks. Okay.
Thank you.
Now, Kevin, is there any regulations as far as in the residential zone, as far as
that's
size
a permitted
of a greenhouse?
Use, believe it or not, it's a permitted use.
I'm sorry?
It's a permitted use. Yeah, 195.11(b)(3), non-commercial, agricultural, or horticulture are permitted uses in that zone.
And there's no sort of size constraints?
Not according to the regulations, there's not.
Okay. That's...
Yeah, can you demonstrate where the wetlands are so you can
allow to come with the
picture? Yep, and explain where the creating the hardship.
So this is northwest looking. I'm on this side, so
yep.
I'm kind of like, thank you. So that's from the front of the house looking towards the back, and you can see it slants down. That tree is about 150 foot high. So it's a very old tree, and we don't want to be going anywhere close to it. We had one over here that died, and it for me, it was very sad to see lose that tree being that old. And then if we move to the next one, we can go to the right. This one's the front of the house. And that's the stone house. That's the single village house. The wetlands are right here. And the other picture was from here. And this one is from here. And there's a map that has a different pictures where they were taken from. Then they're numbered. The wetland is right here in the middle.
That's a wetland? That's not the where you want to put the greenhouse?
No, that's wetland. I don't want to touch that. I know there are regulation tied to that. I know it's an artificial wetland, but I don't want to go any closer to that.
The wetland is also shown on the wetland's also shown on the plot plan.
Yeah.
In the middle.
It's just so hard to see.
Oh, you know what? It's easier to see on the big one.
On that one?
Yeah.
So your greenhouse from this picture is here.
No, not here.
Not here.
No, not there.
So, okay. No.
Look on this one. So, it marks out the wetland.
Okay.
Right here, and so see that's what I was saying. Just put it like over
right here.
Yeah.
No, but the neighbor's
but he house. Was saying that's where the tree of the neighbor.
But
so
this
there's
is
a,
the front of the house.
No, the front of the house is right here.
So
no, the front of the neighbor's house.
Yeah. Right here. So that's the driveway, and the house is up to here. And I don't want to do that. I love Phyllis and Bruce and I can't do that. Sorry. And every time we need someone to babysit, Phyllis is there. She's welcoming, and she's like has been one of our favorite neighbors. So I'm sorry, I can't do that.
Yeah.
But you wouldn't need a variance if you did that.
Because
you could.
So here's a problem. The other problem, technical side, their whole roof discharge comes to a basin over here. And that overflows into my property to go to the wetland. And it gets soggy over there. So I don't know how I'm going to build anything there.
But it's a temporary thing. It's not meant to be. It's a greenhouse. So
it's
we're not building.
I can do that. Yeah.
Right.
But then we're
constructing something that
absolutely.
Can be taken down.
Yeah. And then this neighbor can see this and they will see it and it will become an eyesore for them. It's not an eyesore for me, but this neighbor. They have already complained that they might see the top of the greenhouse, although it's here, completely there.
Yeah.
I did tell them, like...
And this house blocks it if you put it here.
But this house has it behind there.
Yes, they will see it. Yeah.
They'll see it.
This is the stone house.
That's the stone house. No. And there's Betty's house here and Joyce and Joy's house. And they will be able to see because of the gap in between.
What is this?
Those were old stone walls. And when the builder redid the backyard, they got rid of it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So that's not old. A structure. Yeah. Okay. No.
How are you managing the runoff of your greenhouse?
So we're not going to use like sprinklers or anything. It really just drip irrigation.
No, I'm off the roof. Mm-hmm. You're creating impervious zone.
That's a good question. Would you think? I'll probably have to talk to you guys, figure out how I can drain the water into the streaming. So.
Kevin, did you look at this in terms of wetlands?
Oh. Could he not hear you?
It's not.
Go ahead. Yeah, Kevin, did you look at this as far as the roof runoff, how they're managing the water there?
No.
Hello?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm sorry. I was muted. No, we wanted to look at this first from the aspect of can they do it? And then if they can pursue the application, then we would look at it from the wetland standpoint.
Okay.
But right now, they can't do it with the way that the proposal is.
Right.
So if we, so what you're saying is even if we granted this, it might not necessarily still come to fruition based on the wetlands.
Correct.
It's going to go off to, it's going to have to go through the wetland board, right?
So it should go to the wetland first?
No, because if he can't do it, he wouldn't have to have an application.
Right, but wouldn't the wetland say he can do it? Wouldn't he go to them first?
Yeah.
And would, say, yeah, it's okay? Or like he's going to come in here and get an approval to find out he can't do it.
Ray, are you still on wetlands?
I would think
you I am. That doesn't make me an expert, though. But you make a good point. What I'm saying is
if we give him the if we accept the application, and then he has to go to wetlands. Don't you go to wetlands to find out if even if it's a very good first? Point.
If this is a wetland,
no, it's not wetland.
This is the wetland. Well, at least on this map, it says wetland.
He's not even close to the upland area.
They just be doing normal procedures, go to wetland first, then zoning, and then.
Yeah, I mean, you know, this may show this is where the wetlands are, but I don't know, they have those different maps. Sometimes you, wetlands pop up all over the place. Sam, either way, I mean, if we grant the variance and this is wetland, then they're going to deny it, and he's not going to be able to do it, put it there anyways, if it is a wetland. I don't know. That would be for that board and our engineers to usually take a look at that stuff.
The bigger thing is, being that it's a 20 by 40, that's a lot of roof, creating a lot of impervious. Where is he going to discharge his roof leaders?
Okay.
That was my question.
But where his gutters are going to drain to? Is that what you're saying? Mm-hmm.
It's a valid question. I mean, I don't want the water to be like pulling and going to the
other. Well, like you were saying, you've got the neighbor already a problem.
I know. Rain barrels.
I was going to say water barrels.
Yeah.
You don't want irrigation pretty bad.
We do have a plan to have 55-gallon pails inside the greenhouse to store water.
Mm-hmm.
We could store some of the water, but not all of it.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Is not the rain garden down here.
So yeah.
You guys want to okay. All right. If we have any other questions, we'll let you know. Thank you. Anybody from the are you guys good with for the applicant before I go to the public portion? Everybody good? Okay. Anybody from the public wish to speak on this app on behalf of this application? No, I thought you were. All right.
Nobody online?
Anybody online? Anybody from the public wish to speak? Second time, last time, anybody from the public wish to speak? All right, not hearing anybody. Can I get a motion to close the public portion? Motion made by Earl, seconded by Rita. All in favor? Okay. All opposed? Motion carries. Item number 18, action on the application. Kevin, you care to weigh in one last time? I think we've exonerated everything that we've done here. I don't know what is the will of the board here at this time to table it and go look at a site plan, to either table it and go to front of Wetlands first to approve or deny, but either way, whatever.
One of the things when you vote is you never make a vote contingent upon anybody else's boards making a positive or a negative. When they first came, we look at it from the building aspect. And the building aspect was they did not make the requirements for the zones side yard in their application. Therefore, they have to go to the Zoning Board of Appeals in order to get that building approved on that site. If it's approved on that site, then they would go to the next commission, and if that would be the inland wetlands and or the planning and zoning for a site plan, then so be it. But the first thing is they need the application approved by your board for in order for them to move forward.
Okay. Understood. Thank you for that. Julie, you want to weigh in on anything? Do you have anything?
Well, I just to say I agree with what Kevin just stated about the process. Other than that, again, it's another decision within the board's discretion as to whether the applicant has stated a hardship related to his lot.
In favor and against.
Okay. We have two emails that I'm going to read into the record here. Thank you. This came in from Patricia and Roger Hatton. It says, this is sent to Lisa Narowski. It says, hi, Lisa Narowski. We live on One Singer Village Drive, directly across from the applicants, Nito and D. My husband and I have no reason not to support their desire to install a greenhouse. Okay. Then I have one here. And I'm going to read this in. It says, to whom it may concern, on November 21st, 2024 at the Zoning Board. Just the right one. Yeah. November 21st, 2024 at the Zoning Board of Appeals meeting on an application zoning regulation 195-11E7B for 11-foot variance is being presented for your review. This letter is to confirm that I am opposed to a variance application submitted by Nito and D of 6 Singer Village Drive, Derby, Connecticut, 06418, a property adjacent to mine. The application is a request a variance of 11 feet to install a greenhouse of 30 by 40 by 14 feet. A structure placed approximately 5 feet from my property line directly behind my home in full view from my home. Their property being only 40 feet wide directly behind me, when there are plenty of larger spots of land directly behind their home. They themselves do not wish to look at it, apparently. In reference to the letter I received at my home, see attached, claims that the top of the greenhouse may be visible for some of the neighbors. No one will be able to see it but me. And no evergreens that they say they can plant will cover it or not grow onto my property. As for the cleaning of their land, they do not have a current survey with property markers, and I have pushed the debris into my land thinking it is and have pushed the debris into my land thinking it's theirs. As for the comment that it can be beneficial to the community, I don't understand how. There are no utilities run for water or power at this time, and to do so would have to access my property. Regards, Rochelle V. Petty.
He took pictures. That's
that's it?
Yep.
Okay. So I just wanted to read that into the record. We had two emails come in, even though they're not here today to speak in the public portion.
Yeah, okay.
All right.
So that's probably Lynn. That's a stone house. And you can look at the pictures. There are no debris that we pushed in her side. Nope. I mean, and we have been very careful. So pictures tell themselves the truth.
Okay.
Jeffrey, what do you think?
I'd like you to say you have to go back to if we approve it, then I have to go to what did we say before?
Wetlands. Yeah, but that's not, as Kevin just stated, that's not for us to us is just to decide whether or not he gets the variance or not. Dave?
I want to say it's out of you the most circle of lemon email that you got. They said they can plant something there to block some of you for that. That would be an issue. They can't build longer because of the slope, probably, I guess, in the back there.
It's just like the guy with the shed earlier. I mean, if it's a slope and you're having an issue, you're going to have an issue. It's just less.
No, but the power part, anything about where is all that coming into play? Is that, like they said, is that coming through somebody else's property? Are you guys looking to? Are you going to put power on this? Are you going to run electricity?
No.
The other side. There you go.
I'll repeat the question just so it's on the record. Are you going to put power out there?
No, we don't have any for power. We may need power with time, but my idea is that at some point I can put a solar panel there just to run a fan for the greenhouse. That's about it.
Yep. Thank you. Sure. Thank you.
And how is a solar panel? Now you're adding.
Yeah. What?
To this. You're adding solar panels. Now you're extending what you're looking for. You're not putting it on top.
No, but you put it like in front of it or somewhere else in the yard. It's.
What's that?
I don't think the solar panels comes into the equation as to whether there's a hardship or the building.
I don't have any
power.
All
right.
I don't either.
You're
going to talk about a hardship.
There's.
Other than the strange shape of the property.
And the fact that, Mike, you got to put the mic on. No, put your mic on.
if we want to talk about hardship, because that's always key in these, the only thing I can say is just the very strange shape of the, I'm not sure why they divided the property like that, but you have this whole long piece of land really, you can only put a structure in there if it's 8 feet wide to be able to fit in the setback. So, looking for a hardship, that's the only thing I can see is the strange shape of the property.
Yeah,
I mean, but having an 8 foot by 30 foot or 40 foot, whatever it is that hard? Is that, I mean, are we inhibiting anybody from it, just because he can't build a 30 by 40, does that make it a hardship?
That's the question. Under certain circumstances, the irregular shape of a lot can be sufficient to establish a hardship, but is it sufficient? There's the other equation, having the consistency with the plan of development and whether you can make sufficient use of the property without the variance. So there's a couple other factors.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Can you make sufficient use of the property with it the way it is?
Part of the equation, yes.
Okay.
So the initial thing that we brought up was a Japanese knotweed.
Yeah.
It's a pain for us. And it's, you guys can see it everywhere in Derby, right? It took me a good portion of 4 summers to get rid of it. It still comes back. And if I don't put something there, it will come back. And I don't know how I'm going to live with that, how my family can live with that. Like, especially it's growing and it's just spreads everywhere. We, never goes away. So that's a problem. And that's why we want to put something there.
What do you think, Rita? Okay, you can have a seat. Thank you.
I don't know what I would look more for, to be honest with you. I mean, so my understanding is we're supposed to find some exceptional difficulty and unusual hardship. And I don't hear that. I hear a genuine desire to have a very robust greenhouse to sustain, and I admire that you want to grow your own vegetables, that you would like to provide for your family in that way. I think that's very admirable. I myself am a big gardener and love to grow my vegetables and can them for the winter too, so I admire that. But I think my struggle here is that you have a neighbor who's saying this is going to be behind my house. And when I was at your house today, I could see that, that it would be behind her house. And I think that the issue of growing the trees, you only have 5 feet to grow trees. So I'm not sure.
No, I'm sorry. The public portion's over. We're going to make a decision. This time right now when we close the public portion is for us to address each other.
Okay. So my thought is, you know, I mean, it's great that they want to have a 30 by 40, but they could do a 50 by 20 and be within, you know, or, you know, the 8 foot by 50 feet, right? If they could live within the variances. But I do, you know, I think one of their concerns is that it would affect another neighbor.
Right, negative. But not the neighbor. Right. So you're going to, so you don't want to affect the one or the other. Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
You can affect somebody somehow.
You're going to affect somebody somehow.
50 by 20, still non.
50 by 20, still non-conforming.
Right.
Just less non-conforming.
And he can come back and ask for a lesser variance than what he's asking, you know? But not that it's still a variance.
What would he have to have to not have a variance?
Eight feet wide.
It can only be 8 feet wide. And that's where I was trying to spin myself into. That's your hardship, is that part of his property. The only thing structure he can put on there is only 8 feet wide, just because of the strange shape. I don't know if that qualifies or not.
Well, no, because you got to look at the use of the whole entire lot. Saying if you're desiring a 30 by 40,
mm-hmm.
and you put it anywhere else,
yep.
you could put it in front of the other lady, but she's going to see it and it's in the front of her house. And so if it's a sore for one, it's a sore for, you know,
somebody,
right.
Yeah.
Somebody somewhere.
Yep.
Kevin, did you say something?
Well, I would have to think, if you think that there's going to be no power there, a greenhouse in the middle of the winter, I don't care what it's going to have inside, it's not going to grow. So if you want to grow stuff in the middle of the summer, then you could do that. You don't need a greenhouse.
Right.
There's not going to be any power to this. It's not going to function in the winter. So
in the winter time, just have, right.
Just put a garden out there.
Okay. Somebody want to make this motion? Anybody? All right. That's important. It could be. You want, is that your will?
Seems like we're kind of.
Do you want a table? You guys?
Right.
What would be the reason?
I was going to say, will this change anything as far as maybe looking at the property, brainstorming again? Is it going to make any difference at all if we table it and do it now?
We can table it. Right? He's not going to be using it for another 3 months.
All right. It's going into the winter now, so it wouldn't be.
I mean, I already looked at the property. I don't know what I wouldn't have a reason to table it, but I don't object to other people feeling like they need to table it to make more.
So yeah, so what you're saying is going there, you don't feel as though it would change anything.
I already went there right today, and so I don't think going back is something that would help me make the decision.
Okay.
But if other people feel like they need to do that or want to do that, I understand that and would respect that.
What do you you want? Is that what you want? You're going to go out and take a look at it?
I will.
Yeah.
Here,
Earl, Jeffrey, you're going to go out and look at it?
Continue it.
Continuance. I'll make a motion to table this for next month's meeting.
Second.
Yeah, I have to do the whole thing. That's all right. I'm going to make a motion to table the application of 6 Singer Village Drive, located on the affected premises, appealing the zoning board reg 195-11-E7B for an 11-foot variance to install a greenhouse. Do I have a second?
Ray.
Second.
All right. Seconded by Ray. All in favor? All opposed? Motion carries. We're going to table this till next month, and we're going to have other board members come out and take a look at the property. Okay? All right.
Trip all your lights.
Yeah.
I know, really. I'm sorry about tripping your cameras.
All right. Item number 22, motion to adjourn.
I was a little bit late, but my understanding is items 3 and 5 were being continued to next month. The hedge.
Yeah, the 31 Sentinel Hill on item number 7 yes. on the agenda, and the Hops Company on item number 19 are.
No, number 13 and 19 continue to next month because further requests.
Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. 5 Ginetti Drive. Number 13 and number 19 on the agenda. 5 Ginetti Drive and the Hops Company.
And I always have a different agenda. Oh, this is the notice. I'm sorry that I'm looking at. Okay. Understood. Yes. So both of those items are continued.
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay. Motion to adjourn. Motion made by Earls. Can I get a second?
I'll second.
Seconded by Rita. All in favor? All opposed? All
right. Bill, for the record, that it's 8:11.
It's 8
p.m.
Yep, 8:11.
Are you going to be here next month?
I think I am.
So we can argue the legal definition of a hedge.
Well,